Motherfucker, are you wearing my slides?
Yo, we're recording.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, my bad.
Hey, guys.
So, you're listening to Couch Time. What's up, guys? And thank you for tuning in to an episode of Couch Time. I am May J, and I am sitting here with a bunch of my friends.
Monroe.
Tombone Capone.
Ana La Diosa.
And we're here live on a beautiful... What day is today?
Sunday afternoon, evening.
Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday. It's probably going to be posted on Thursday, but whatevs. We're here to talk to you guys about everything. How you guys doing today? It's a nice day outside.
It's good.
It's pretty. It's kind of rainy today.
It's kind of rainy?
Yeah.
How you feel, Tone? Nice outside?
It actually was real nice today. It was really nice. I enjoyed my drive.
Oh, he enjoyed his drive.
Where were you driving to? Right.
He made it sound like he was on the Old Town Road. Right. We had Lil' Kid Nas in the background.
Don't be hating.
Lil' Nas X.
We're here. y'all not gonna triple team me. That's not what we're doing today.
Tomorrow?
No.
We're your friends every day.
I don't care. Go home.
We're family. Like a giant tree. Reaching out to the stars. All right, guys, so we're going to talk about some interesting topics today. A lot of new things that are happening in entertainment. We're going to talk about some changes with LLPS, give you guys some updates on our upcoming shows, and hopefully just give you a really good podcast to listen to. We're trying to mix it up, you guys. So, Mari, I know that you went to ASIN yesterday. How was it?
I sure did. It was a shit show.
Oh.
That's exactly what I heard.
It's always a shit show.
I'm glad I didn't go.
It's a wonderful shit show.
Was it wonderful?
I love ASIN.
I mean, like, I love seeing all the cosplayers every time. It's the dedication and amount of detail that they put into the characters themselves. And a lot of people do stay in character, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know me, don't come up to me, say my name, say my character. I'll respond.
Great.
Okay, cool. None of that creeper shit. I get
that's
you.
That's the main rule. It's my badge. You can't just go up there saying people real names.
Right. Like,
nobody is who you think they are.
That's how you get snatched.
That's a true statement.
On a side note, that's why I didn't want to get like one of those hoochie stamps on my names. Because like, what happens if you're at the beach, right? And somebody walk up to you like, yo, Ashley. And I'm like, do I know you? He's like, we met this many years ago. And I'm like,
you completely forget about that tattoo.
Exactly. And I'm like, how you know me? So I completely get it. But yeah, continue to tell us your review of ASIN.
Yeah, the cosplayers were great. I didn't go to any panels this year, actually, which was kind of disappointing. Last year, went to, I want to say 10, 12 panels in a day. They had, in my opinion at least, just for myself, a lot more things I was interested in. This year, we were trying to go to one, and there was a line, like, out the door and around the corner.
You must have showed up late.
No,
you
like
had to be
it
at
had
a panel at like 3 hours before if you want to get a. And if see, it's like, somebody important, like
right,
we went for the
like, we didn't Mortal do Kombat it last
one.
Year.
Well, I went for the Mortal Kombat one probably like 5 years ago, and they had Scorpion there, and that was a long line.
Yeah,
but they had it also in a bigger room, so everybody was able to fit.
And but like this one wasn't even like a guest speaker; it was like build your own waifu shit.
Oh, ew. Why?
Because it's a thing.
But you also have to think about, like, when you have someone from Mortal Kombat coming, they were announcing that Mortal Kombat game that was coming, that just came out, like, wait, last year, this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they had announced that game a few years back. So people were pumped, and it was really giving that game a lot of gas. But so also, I can see why Mortal Kombat had a line outside the door.
they were in around the corner. 10 at the time, I think, or 9 at the time, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And that was the main attraction for it. And he was in there. He was demonstrating. It was actually really, really good. But when it comes down to those panels are a big thing at ASIN. Yeah. Like, you get your booklet the first day, or day zero, as we call it, in the business. And you look through there. And as you're looking through it, they have expert. All of them put out. Well, I used to work at ASIN every now and again. I did volunteer a lot. And that's one thing I do recommend. It's a great experience. But when you get a booklet and you go through the booklet and they give you all these different things to do. So you kind of like plan out your experience day by day for the first, second, and third day as you go. And there's always something to do. That's the best part about ASIN, is that it's something going on 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So you might go to a panel in the morning time or in the afternoon time, stop into the game room in the evening, and then hit up an anime viewing session, whatever.
Hentai. He's talking about hentai.
Well, they just brought that back. Oh, okay. A few years ago, they stopped doing the hentai portion. So it was just anime all night. Mm-hmm. They would do like one series for that whole little 8 hours.
Oh, so yeah. Now it's hentai all night.
So they have both.
Now they're doing the bow chicka wow wow. Okay.
So let's just talk about the funniest part. So I went to a hentai showing. Because, you know, you went at ASIN. And
that had to be awkward.
No, so the funniest fucking part, because, like, we say, obviously, we're going, and we're like, oh, no one's actually taking this seriously. And then we realized how seriously some people might have taken it when security came in at intermissions, and we're like, hands up, everyone, hands up. And we're like, oh, shit.
You know what would have made that so funny? If they walked up to people and let me smell your hands.
Funny as fuck. Wow, so. The floors must be terrible after that. Like, oh no.
You walk through and you see them temporary vibrators.
It's an interesting thing. I will say it's just interesting. But when it comes down to it, ASIN is a very great experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It has its pros, it has its cons, but if you go to ASIN, you have to stop in for the signature soap bubble that happens that Saturday night, second evening.
Be there
early, or else you won't get in until 3 a.m. and then they'll close on you. But it is a wonderful thing. Always have your ID, of course, because they don't let you in without your ID. Mm-hmm. Don't bring a bag, because they ain't going to let you in with the bag.
They do now.
They just check the bags. They did. You know what? When I first started going, they checked the bags. And then the last year I went, they stopped checking the bags and said you couldn't bring it in.
You couldn't bring anything
in. Everybody had to leave their bags outside or have someone take it to their car or whatever.
Or in the rooms.
I thought they was just going to stick with that. I guess they did change it. Because they did have a couple scares, nothing violent scares, mostly just people coming in with medication or whatever. It wasn't that wasn't legal or wasn't, you know, their medication. So, but they did. I will say ASIN does catch that pretty quick. I was on the security detail at the time where, you know, we do keep up with those different things. So we do make sure that they do make sure that everybody is safe at all times. And it is a great experience. It's wonderful fun for all around ages. But when it does come down to the soap bubble and the rave that happens that Friday, you do have to be of age.
Mm-hmm. So LLPS will be at ASIN next year. We will be cosplaying. So look out for us, because never been. Yeah, we're going to go, girl!
I got to get my outfit ready there. Now. I just have to figure out what I'm going to wear.
Exactly.
I'm probably going to be Tony Stark.
Oh, I thought you was going to say T'Challa, because then I was going to be like, yes, I could be the Storm and we could go together.
But well, there are 3 days, so, you know,
are you going to dress up Tony something Stark. Different each day?
Yes, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to do Tony Stark, and then I might do T'Challa, and then I might do Black Panther. Ooh. Depending on how I feel at the time. I know I will be at the tables, because I do like to buy my merchandise. And I got to stop into the gaming room, because I know it's a couple Tekken players. I have to stop in and fight. So
they added VR.
I saw. I did see that on the ASIN Facebook page. So that is going to be something interesting.
There's so many things you could choose to dress up as.
Yes.
That's really exciting.
Mostly anime, but you can also do superheroes from the MCU or from the DC universe. I did see that she did Harley Quinn.
You did Nurse Harley, right?
I did Nurse Harley.
Yeah, I really enjoy your renditions of Harley.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It takes so long to put on the makeup.
I know when I used to go, I used to not dress up. I didn't dress up at all. I just wanted to enjoy the festivities, take pictures as much as I can, and play as many games when it came down to board games and you know, different things. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but like, what is it? The Werewolf Town game or whatever it's called. I did enjoy that. And I know I butchered it. Please put the name in the comments below.
If you know, you know.
So that should be the name of this podcast.
It could be. Yeah,
that's definitely what it is.
We get a new name every time, y'all.
And next year when Aeson come around, please be there, because I want to kick it with all of y'all, and we want to definitely turn up on that. I was going to say Humans Against Humanity. That is not
wow.
Cards Against Humanity. Please don't hate me for butchering that. It's been a long morning.
I just want to let you know that his name is Tone Bone Malone Capone. That's Tone. So when you're talking about whoever butchered Cards Against Humanity, please at him, because it wasn't us.
Right. It was the only dude here.
Just want to put that out
Tone
there.
Tone Bone Capone. Let's get that straight.
Okay.
All right.
Tone Bone Capone. All right. Well, guys, I had an interesting day. I didn't go to Acer any festivities, but I don't know if you know, but Tyler, the Creator's new album, Igor, dropped. And so I spent the day making Anna here and Tony listen to it. And I got some things to say.
So what do you have to say?
Who was he talking to?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, so who's that person there?
I think I want to say conspiracy theory here. I believe it was Jaden Smith.
Ooh. I mean, he did come out and say, you know, that was his boyfriend.
Yeah, so. But Tyler never confirmed. He was just like, you play too much.
That could be taken as yeah, because he didn't say no.
He didn't say no. He but just said you play too much.
The album had this really, it was this really cool, it was like the first song or the beginning of the album was had the vibe of Can We Be Friends? And then towards the middle, it was like, I love you. I'm in love with you. I think this is real. And then towards the end, it was like, fuck you. I hate you. I don't want to see you again. So it was like, okay. But something I did notice that Tyler, the Creator, did differently this time was he didn't really rap. There was more singing. It was a neo-soul R&B vibe to this album.
Okay.
And I dug it. I was like, okay, so.
I'm going to listen to it again.
So do we know, like, how long their fling actually lasted?
Or if it wasn't a fling, it might not have been a fling.
Or what it was?
I don't know.
It was just kind of, like, up in the air.
Honestly, they were just hanging out.
It was just there, and then it wasn't there.
Yeah. Jaden Smith tweeted that they were a couple. And Tyler, the Creator, never confirmed or denied. He just kind of was like, oh, you played too much. You cute. Kind of like one of those comments.
Okay. I mean, like, but he wasn't like, you know. Now maybe he don't tell these people we date.
Maybe he just didn't want to put a label on it or whatever. Or he, you know.
He kind of just wanted to see where it went.
Yeah. You get a lot of those where you just like,
we'll date
and see how that goes. But we ain't dating. We just out here just having a good time. And that's more of the type of stigma that people have these days.
But, you know, for me, and what I've always appreciated about Tyler, the Creator, is that Tyler doesn't have people in his business. Like, he's not a very public person. Like, you've never seen Tyler, the Creator, out here on TMZ holding no one's hand.
That's true.
Like, he's very private about his private life. So, he may have well been dating Jaden Smith, and they called him, like, yo, shut up.
Right.
I don't want people knowing what's my business. But either way, Igor is a bomb album. His last album he did prior to that was also really good. It's, I want to call it Butterfly. Let me just fact check his album.
Once again, I have not listened to this in depth. I need to. I was kind of listening and I kind of wasn't. It's been one of those early mornings and I was playing the game. But from what I hear, what I heard, I should say, It was pretty good. It was very artistic listen.
So the prior album to this was Flower Boy, and I think that's where he rapped on Flower Boy, but he kind of started transitioning to more of that soul vibe. Yes, thank you, Monroe. It was Flower Boy. But Anna, how did you feel about the album? Because I know we listened to that song, Are We Still Friends, a couple times, and you seem to nod your head a little bit. I know he's not really your genre of music.
Well, it's just something that's extremely different, because nowadays you really don't have a set genre that you have to stick by, and I think that's pretty nice. You kind of just explore your musical talent and just see where it takes you. You don't always have to rap or sing. You can kind of just, you know, incorporate whatever kind of music that you want to put to your words. You could say the same words. You can have all different kinds of abstract music. You just do whatever you want, and I think that's kind of what he did with this album.
Oh, dope. Yeah, dope. So, in other words, y'all go back and listen to the album. Everybody, please. I'm sorry. Everybody, please listen to Tyler, the Creator's album, Igor, I-G-O-R. It's really good. I will say that cover, where he kind of looks like Grace Jones, is disrespectful, but...
I mean, yeah, I was like, who is that? That can't be. Okay, yeah, it's not. All right.
So, like, since we're talking about latest releases, I'm going to delve a little bit into the Latino community. Maluma dropped his new album.
Hey!
And Madonna's on one of those songs.
Ooh!
I don't know.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know how I'm feeling about her, like, whole Madam X vibe right now. But, you know, she's doing her thing. She's, like, what, 50 now?
She's a little older than 50.
She's a little up there.
She's a little older than 50. Funny story. My boss and I were looking at going to the Madonna concert that's going to be in Chicago in October. And her starting tickets were $500.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I will be bootlegging that.
I mean, like, overall, though, it's really hard for me to, like, play an album all the way through. Like, I will skip it, and then I'm like, wait, let me go back and listen to the song. But I was able to listen all the way through. Also, super big crush on Maluma, so that might be half the problem.
Right. Hashtag soon to be hubby.
I'm totally feeling awkward. So, if we're going to talk about artists, right? What do you think about Logic's new song with Eminem?
Oh, my God.
Logic is almost getting canceled by his own community. So I really think that, you know, you have this spotlight to do something great with somebody great, and you kind of didn't make it as great as you could have. The song ended shortly, and I don't know what that was at the end or who that was or why that was. I personally was a little disappointed. Because it was definitely a lot different than Under Pressure. I felt like the pressure to put on Under Pressure kind of made it better than his recognition now. He just kind of feels like he has to defend his art.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from Logic.
Yeah.
I feel like when Logic first came out, he felt the need to describe himself.
Right.
A lot of what he rapped about was where he came from, his nationality. Now he feels the need to prove, I'm a rapper and I can rap.
Right. He's like, I'm not too old. I'm not saying something stale. I'm still relevant. Recognize me, please. And I don't really feel like he should be begging his listeners to recognize him. I just feel like he should still be himself.
Go ahead.
Well, when it comes down to that song, I am a huge Eminem fan, as you all know. I supported him through all of his phases. I even had some favorite songs on his Relapse album, and people hated that album, but I liked it. When it comes down to Logic trying to rap with Eminem, I don't feel that he was doing his style. I feel like he was trying to do a lower budget Slim Shady, and I felt like that was not where he should have took that. When it came down to it, I feel like if he would have, you know, rapped like himself when I first listened to him back in a couple years ago, he could have, he's a great rapper, don't get me wrong, when he is rapping his way. When he gets on a track with somebody else, now he wants to switch his style up. He wants to rap like someone else. And you can't rap like Eminem. It just doesn't work that way because it fits him.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
I also felt like Eminem, as he was rapping, kind of slowed it down.
Yeah,
Instead of taking his own approach. Because Eminem gets on a song and he just totally murders it. Whether the person keeps up and murders the song with him
or not.
Mm-hmm. There's been several times where he's been rapping on somebody's track, and when they got Eminem's version, they was like, oh, let me redo my verse.
Right.
I feel like, and I agree with you, I honestly feel like Eminem did not give it his all in that song. Like, if you listen to his song with Joyner Lucas, like, Joyner Lucas went ham. Like, Joyner Lucas was comparable to Eminem's style. But I feel like when Eminem gets on a track, that other artist, whoever is featuring, even if it's his song, I feel like you need to give it your all and not try to replicate Eminem's style, but be yourself to the best of your ability. And I honestly feel like Logic is still trying to figure out who he is as an artist. And I think that's how come he's struggling so much. Because any artist, like, for instance, Joe Budden. Joe Budden knew who he was. Joe Budden was that emo rapper. Joe Budden talked about depression. Joe Budden, even when he was with Slaughterhouse, he talked about his struggles with mental health. He was that angry, misunderstood artist. And no matter what song he featured on, Joe Budden was always going to be Joe Budden. When you get on a track with another artist and I can't tell who you are anymore because you're not following the brand that you built of yourself, there's an issue.
Yeah, I feel like that was an extremely elementary amateur move for him to be on his, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th studio album plus this new one makes 8. I really feel like he should kind of know better.
Plus mixtapes.
Yeah, 5 a.m. compared to Homicide era, I don't really believe it's comparable at all.
Well, let's just even compare songs. If you can play Africarian to this song, like that you, Logic literally rapped himself out. He sounds like he's hit his peak and he's going back down. And he's not even at the peak of his career yet. He's still young.
Even though people really didn't like the Everybody album, I really do feel like he put his all into it. And with this Supermarket album, I don't know what happened. He went from, you know, I'm a rapper hardcore to let me do some guitar country music. Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with switching up your genre. You know, music is very how you feel. It's you and your music. So if that's him, that's great. But I just feel like he dropped a bombshell on us and we didn't know how to respond to it.
I also think it's your confidence. When you drop a song and you're confident about it, your confidence, like, there's been lots of music that I didn't like. For instance, Blueface Baby. What beat are you rapping on?
All right, wait. No. In Blueface's defense, he got a new song, Stop Capping, and it's catchy, and he's actually on beat.
Is he on the back beat, or is he on the actual beat?
All right, well, he's a little laggy on the beat, but he's still on the beat, though.
Like, on the beat. Bust Down Tatiana, I didn't know what beat he was on. Like, Cardi came on there, and she killed it, and then he come on, Blueface Baby, I'm Every Woman's Something Fantasy, and I'm just like, what are you talking on? But even him, he gets on these songs, and I think what makes you like the song, besides the fact that he don't know where the beat is
he's confident. He's still doing his thing.
100% himself.
Exactly. And he don't give a fuck that he ain't rapping on that beat. He gonna get his verse off.
He's gonna make sure he put as many syllables inside that 1 second time frame as he can.
He walked into that studio session, he said, yeah, I'm gonna get my shit off.
So, hey, the Stop Capping is kind of lit, though. I just want to put that out. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. It's actually pretty dope.
Also, if you have not listened to Logic's new song with Eminem, please go listen to it. Let us know what you feel in the comments below. Let us know if we're hitting some of your feelings or not.
And tell us about some rappers you want us to discuss. I do want to talk about Joyner, though.
Let's talk about Joyner.
This man is a very good rapper. Yes. I've been listening to his albums a little bit more lately.
Yeah.
And I do like what he did with Eminem. I also like what he did with Chris Brown, and that's what made me listen to Joyner more.
You know they're talking about doing a Joyner and Chris Brown album, right?
Well, they started. I don't know if they did it or if they started it, because I got one song with him, and then I heard another song, and they both had the same like album cover backdrop thing. So I don't know if they started it or if it's out, and I just can't find it, but I've been looking for it, and they sounds go hard, but then, you know, Chris Brown, he don't really sing nothing that's not hard. Gonna go hard.
Yeah.
New album, ADHD, and it's almost finished.
If you guys don't know who Joyner Lucas is, Joyner Lucas is the rapper who kind of surfaced And he released the I'm Not Racist video, which brought up a lot of conspiracy because people didn't really research to find that it was the same person doing both parts. But Jordan Lucas is a very, very, very talented rapper. I don't believe that he deserves the credit that he does. And honestly, unpopular belief, opinion here, but I feel the...
Can I cut in on you
real quick? Yeah, go for it.
I just want to let you know you did a typo just now. You said, I don't think he deserves the credit that he does. That
I'm sorry. First of all, it's not a typo, but okay. Whatever. I think he doesn't get the credit that he does deserve. And for an unpopular opinion, there was some beef between Tory Lanez and Joyna Lucas. And they did some, you know, songs, and people actually said that Tory Lanez won that beef. I just want to say I was on Joyna Lucas' side. I picked a side. Joyna won.
Tory Lanez. Check it out.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to check it out because I haven't listened to it.
We're going to bookmark this topic and come back to it next week. But okay. we need to have a segment about rap beef.
Oh, I'm definitely down.
Yeah.
I'm always down for either rap beef or just freestyle battling in general. Like I feel like freestyle battling is like the basis of all rap. Like when it comes down to rapping, you can be great with the lyrics, you can be great with the flow, but to come off the top of the head and spit something that, you know, was not written, that wasn't something that you had prepared beforehand, that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of brain power. It takes a lot of skill. And I believe that's rapping it in its rawest form right there.
Also, something that's been infiltrated into hip-hop, I think it's really cool, is battle rap.
That's freestyle.
But not just, like, people are doing the battle rap style. I understand the freestyle, but I'm speaking more of the punchline. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to have great lyrics, but when you come with a dope punchline that I have to pause the song and be like, wait, did you just say that? Like, I enjoy that about hip-hop now and a lot of the rap beef. But can we talk about the R&B beef? R&B singers are kind of having beef now.
I had to look at you look crazy because I didn't know what she was talking about, the R&B beef. I was like, we got R&B beef in the freezer?
Wow. So me and Mariela had a conversation a couple months ago about Jacquees.
And LMA.
And LMA and Jacquees and all these rappers. Like, if you listen to a prior podcast, Carmen G on the Couch Time for Tuesdays, actually, we discussed Jacquees saying that he was the best R&B. He was an R&B king now. And now Jacquees is having more controversy with that statement because other artists are like, yo, you're going to do a original project with music that's yours?
I just want to point out something. How are you going to be a R&B king when you definitely aren't beating Chris Brown and his lyrical genius? You're not beating people who have come before you in their genius. You know what I mean? When it comes to it, if you can't sing your own original lyrics, you don't have anything. A cover's great. Don't get me wrong. The fact that you can redo someone else's work, make it your own, that's cool. But that's not going to give you the title as king. It may give you title as cover king, but it's not going to give you the title as R&B king.
I mean, I don't ever remember seeing him as number one for any amount of time. So
I think he dropped one album, and then the other, I think he has two. Can someone fact check how many albums he actually has? Mm-hmm. I want to say it's two, but I know, to me, the best project that he dropped was his EP.
I mean, I can't tell what's an album and what's just a song that he released that he gave a title to.
Nope. Well, he got 4275, Fuck a Friend Zone, 19, which is an EP. Affiliated.
I mean, I guess Mood is an album.
I don't know. I guess
maybe it's a mixtape. I think it's probably a mixtape. There's only three songs there.
Well, this one got 18 songs on it. So I mean, I guess he has something. I'm gonna have to listen to it. Maybe I'm gonna have to definitely fact. Well, no.
I mean, like, guys, come on. He's king in his heart.
All right, y'all. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Yo, this is your boy Tone Bone Capone, and you're listening to Couch Time. Wicked, wicked.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're back from our break. We replenished our drinks and we're chilling. So, I forgot what we were talking about, but let's just change the subject. Y'all seen that clip of Kevin Hart falling?
Poor little guy.
That was so funny. The poor little Ting Ting. Oh.
Like, his legs had a different agenda.
Well, he looked like he was crip walking on a noodle.
Like, there was no ice on the ground or anything like that.
His legs was like, fuck this. Like,
he hovered for a whole last second. That's the part that got me.
Wait, did you see his face when he hit the float up?
He looked shocked.
Then he put his hand up and said, well, no, I didn't fall.
Right.
That shit is so funny.
The real funny part was the fact that his legs actually kind of shook in the air when he first fell. It was like, the reaction was like, shake. No, I'm good. Like, you're not good. You busted your shit.
Let's talk about how he fell with both legs.
Right.
Both
legs.
How you fall with both legs? Why both your legs stuck together? He fell over like a newborn baby.
Both his legs closed like chopsticks.
He's a... I don't know.
That was, rest in peace to Kevin Hart's dancing career. I just wanted to say that. Kevin Hart, you are no longer permitted to dance. And the fact that people was hyping him up with whatever the fuck he was doing, was, I thought he was like going to try to step like you know, like in the college when they had like the sorority and the fraternity, mm-hmm. and they go out there and they do the whole step show. I thought that's what he was going to do until he landed. And I was like, that wasn't the case.
And low-key, it did look like he was like doing the twist with the butt in mm-hmm. action in the yeah. midst of it, because he was like, he jumped in the air and then did this little twist with his ass and then fell the fuck over.
If you have not watched the clip, please go on YouTube and type in Kevin Hart falling dancing and you're gonna have a good laugh.
But I just want to put this out there, he looked like he didn't work on his legs that much.
He
did.
He skipped leg day for 2 months.
You gonna use his joke against him?
Yes, I will. No, for real though, we love Kevin Hart.
Hopefully soon we'll have many friends at the show. Kevin, if one of your friends tweets you about this because they stumbled upon it looking for something to listen to,
that still was funny.
Don't diss in public. I know, now on some more serious business.
He just got melancholic as fuck.
Like, right? Like, oh, what's so serious? Oh, okay.
On a serious note, people,
we're all in trouble.
It has been rumored that Rihanna is trying to get pregnant. Let's have a round of applause for her and her man.
That baby is going to be so gorgeous. Like,
I don't know about all that.
Yes.
But I just want to say that it's a beautiful thing to have children. I don't have any, but from what I hear, it's great.
You see how he tried to slide that in there?
Right. He was like, okay, let's get started.
And then you see how he looked at me when he said it? He's like, I don't have any. And I'm looking like, I don't see you.
That's fine. You ain't got to see me.
Was it John Cena? You don't see me.
Wow. He's in movies now. I can't believe it.
No, he's on
Are You Smarter, than a
Fifth Grader with that goddamn... who is it?
Is there a clip of that?
Yes, it is. There is a clip on TV.
Is he smarter than a fifth grader?
I don't know.
Well, I do know is that
I know he's smaller than a fifth grader.
I was going to say, he looked big as fuck in a small-ass t-shirt to keep putting on. Man, who here likes Love and Hip Hop?
Wait, before we go there, did y'all see, he going to see it in a second, but did you see that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood-ass swoop he got on his head?
Man. He's a family man now.
So... we're going to have different people in this podcast give us updates about certain things. I think Anna, can you pronounce your name?
Anna La Diosa.
Thanks. Yeah, Anna the Goddess is going to give us updates on Love and Hip Hop. Wow, he looked big as fuck in that t-shirt.
But do you see the swoop?
Wow, that's that family man swoop now.
Somebody on Instagram is talking to you. You know that chick? Cause she never mind. Talk about that off air.
That's about to be cut.
I'll edit that out. Not really. So, Anna, you're going to be our Love and Hip Hop insider. Can you give us a rundown of the tea?
Okay, so there is a lot going on. Let's start with Spice. She actually got some pretty big recognition when she went from Chocolate Spice to Vanilla Spice.
Let's give a hand clap for Spice for not being afraid to bleach her skin.
Come on, what?
I don't think it was actually bleach. It was just makeup for her music.
Okay, well, let's give a hand clap to Spice for not taking a shower that day.
Oh, come on! Spice is a woman from Jamaica who was actually really popular in Jamaica and wanted to make some music about black hypocrisy because she believes that the black community are the ones who mostly discriminate against dark-skinned black women. So she decided to get this notion more attention, she would actually bleach her skin and become a very, very white version of herself to make people believe and say, like, okay, this is what you're doing to the black girls in the community. You're saying black is good and black is great and love the skin that you're in, but then at the end of the day, you're making black girls want to bleach because you say they're too dark.
Okay, this is a real story and this actually happened, and I feel like this is something that people don't talk about much. So I was on Facebook, and for those who don't know, Tony Baker is a comedian. He's that guy who actually does the vocals behind the animals to give them like the life and whatever, and like to make that funny commentary. So he posted Nipsey Hussle's Guide to Hustling, which is really in a different language, in my opinion. It's really Nipsey's way of saying, this is how you become an entrepreneur. This is how you get basically your bag and your coins. And I commented on it because people are really upset that he keeps posting it, like, yo, stop posting this. I'm like, it takes a special type of person to get upset that we are encouraging someone. And someone actually commented under my post, I promise, and said that no one likes black people. They're just here for entertainment and laughs or something like that. And I was like, okay, so this is a real issue in society, and you feel very comfortable being on a black man's page posting under a black woman saying this comment. That's cool, but let's take all of our ancestors' shit so you people can sit in the dark. Okay, but back to what you were saying.
And that's also a part of it because, you know, in the black community, there is still colorism.
Yeah.
You know, one lighter skin tone is looked at in praise over a darker one. You might get that promotion. You might actually get more money in that way. And that's also in other brown communities as well. It's not just blacks. It's all across the world. It's in India. It's in almost every country here that we have.
You're automatically better if you're light skin. And there's a lot of women who feel that way, who are doing things to resemble other people of other cultures because they feel like they'll get ahead if they are lighter, if their skin resembles something more of the Caucasian culture, or if their hair is straight, or if their hair is long.
Right.
And that's an issue because it's not always what you look like, even though sometimes it is. But word to Lil' Kim, who also bleached her skin. Lil' Kim is also almost unrecognizable.
It wasn't just skin bleaching with her. It was skin bleaching. She did. It was a lot of surgery.
But to bring a little humor to the situation, some people believe that that dark skin versus light skin beef started in Lion King.
Wow.
I'm so over you.
Lion King. Dang.
Yeah, Lil' Kim is literally unrecognizable from when she was in her 90s. It's sad.
I'm a 90s kid, you know what I mean? I've seen that as it unfolded.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Step by step.
I saw when she was a major mogul, and then she dropped down, and then after a while, she just...
And it's more than just skin color, hair texture, hair color. It's also body size. Like, when you get into the media, they will tear you apart for every single part of your body. And then you are made to feel as though you're less than if you don't have the perfect hourglass figure.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of people who want to get the big butt. They want the big boobs. They want the slim waist. They want the lip fillers. They want everything to make them look like a specific person that is looked at as the model woman.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, Monroe, being in the Latino community, like, and being a person who's often confused as a white girl? So, what's your take on that?
I mean, honestly, it's, it happened, like, so, rounding back around to, like, the homie cosplaying at ASUN, right? I was super insecure. Like, I am, I don't know, way heavier than I was. And there's this whole, like, type of girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to look a certain way. The costume has to lay on you a certain way. You have to, especially as a Latina girl, like, when I say I'm Latina, people look at me like, are you, though? Because they pictured, like, Sofia Vergara. Like, I love that bitch. But, like, you know, it's like if you don't have...
Or J-Lo.
Or J-Lo, right. So if you don't have the J-Lo butt and the Sofia tits and, like, it's just... It's so sad. And it's only ever acceptable that you are your ethnicity when you start fitting the negative aspects of your ethnicity.
Right.
There you go.
You're loud, you're bossy, you're feisty, you want to fight, all of those things.
You're ghetto.
And I think that, you know... Being in America, we forget that other countries are also melting pots. There are people in Latin American countries who are as dark as the soil that they grew from, you know, being in the country. And I think that they, I think that that's also forgotten. That when you're in America, you see a spectrum of different colors, but that doesn't just stop in America. In North America, it's also in South America, it's in Latin America, it's everywhere.
Yeah, there's this, like, idolization of being white. And, like, it's really sad that it's compared to, like, perfection. It's compared to being proper. It's compared to being educated.
Absolutely.
Like, and I know we've dealt with this at a lot of places where we go to see, like, we'll call them on the phone and we go and see the venue. And they're like, oh...
It's you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was that's the bane of my existence. Like, I'm a black girl with locks, and they look at me like, oh, I didn't expect you to look this way.
Right.
Well, what the fuck did you expect?
Like, yeah, exactly.
But it's just... I want to talk about the other side of that, because I do understand where Spice is coming from. But then I don't, because, like, some celebrities feel like, yeah, you should have the big breasts, and you should have the big butt. But coming from a person who has relatively large boobs, when I wear certain things, I'm shamed for it. And I don't understand. So it's like,
yeah,
I can never fit that spectrum. It's like, you can't wear that because you have this certain body type.
Exactly.
But she can wear it. And we saw a lot of this in high school where skinny girls would wear the short shorts and they would be fine because they were skinny. But if a thicker girl wore the same exact shorts, she was sent home. Typically, I was the one sent home. Or sent to the office to get shorts, but I never understood, like, we're wearing the same thing.
Yeah, and we're oftentimes being faulted for the bodies that we had no control over. We don't have any control over the fact that, you know, maybe our bust is a little larger or it's a little smaller.
I also want to say I'm tired of paying $50 for a bra. Get your life.
No, but see, like, that's also the part that pisses me off. It's like, do you idolize it or no?
Right.
Is it only acceptable when it's a fad, when it's in the spotlight?
Exactly.
Like, that's fucked up. And that happened on... So, I just came back from Florida. I was out at Rolling Loud. Crazy shit. Would definitely do it again. But we were going through our hotel lobby when we were staying. And this, like, tiny little woman, I guess she was. I don't know. Blonde hair. Super skinny. Passed by in a whole ass bikini. No one said shit to her. My friend had her bikini top on, and she has a nice pair of boobs, right? The guy walks up to her and says, next time that you guys come down, you need to cover up. And we're like, but she just walked through this whole ass lobby butt ass naked, and you didn't say shit to her.
Tony, I'd like to get your perspective on this from a guy. You, from a male, right, you see celebrities go from being dark skin to light skin. You see celebrities go from being skinny to thick. And then in real life, being that, you know, you're my husband, you see, I know you often hear me talk about being ridiculed for wearing certain shirts and having such a bust. Like, what is your insight on that?
I see it as not fair. A lot of different reasons. Mostly because it's a double-edged sword, because you can't wear it because people ridicule you, but if you was confident enough to wear it and wear it anyway, or if you were in an area that was accepting of that, they would catcall and you would get all this different you would get praise for it, but not in a good way.
Yeah. Negative, positive attention is what I like to call it, because in some people's eyes it's positive because you're being praised for what you have, but it's also negative and degrading because of what it is that they say.
So do you guys think, and this is something that I believe that celebrities who kind of go with that fad or stereotype of what women should look like really do have some inner insecurities. Really do feel like, you know, I can't make it unless I look this way. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I feel like that is definitely because of media. I have nothing against the Kardashians. I think that, you know, great family, do you, get your bag. But when it comes to praising them, like, their praise for their beauty, their praise for being like, what's her name, Caitlyn Jenner, or the child? No, Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner was praised for being having natural beauty. And I'm like, but there's a picture of her floating around and she looks nothing like she does now. Mm-hmm. So Kim Kardashian is always praised for being so beautiful, but we kind of look over the women like Angela Bassett. That woman is in her 60s and she has my dream body. And I'm just like, fam, what do you do?
And I really don't think it's fair that they get praised for having natural beauty when it's obviously everything that they were able to pay for.
Like, they're, so I saw a clip of, like, one of their episodes, and in the episode, Kendall, who is the one that's the model, she is, like, crying because she says she feels like there's this expectancy that she looks a certain way because all of her sisters do. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have that body.
I saw that clip.
Yeah. And it's just, like, it really is a stigma. It really is for women to look a specific way, and, like, that saddens me. Like, I have nieces, you know, and I'm like, this is what you're seeing.
Right.
But not even just that. Like, even in my own life, sometimes I feel a little, not insecure, but a little kind of like, there's no place for me to win. You know, because it's like, I'm not considered beautiful if I am not a certain weight. Like, you know, you lose weight and then everybody, you gain some weight and everybody has comments about, oh, you've gotten chunky, you've gotten big. You know, you need to lose weight, diet, and do this. But I'm just like, I think I look fine. Like, if I lose weight, it's because I feel the need to. But there's so much body shaming going on. And then there's this expectation of what beauty should look like. I feel like women in general are in a lose-lose situation, because it's like, either you're their standard of beautiful or you're honestly bullied.
Yeah, and I feel like in North America, social media has kind of been, it's kind of been plagued with it, because a lot of times you see people getting surgery and all of that, and it's to change what they've been born with. But in other countries, they see it as just an accessory. Like in Jamaica, Spice was commenting on one of her fellow co-members of the show, saying that, well, skin bleaching is like an accessory, just like if you were to get your boob done, and things like that. And I feel like even that's a stigma, is like, you see it as such a normality to the point where it happens so often. It's just a part of your life at this point, and it's just waiting your turn to do it.
Like, that was, like, at work one day. Like, one of my coworkers was like, I know why we're ugly. It's because we're poor. And it started this whole conversation of, what would you get done if you had the money? What would you get done? And I'm just sitting there like, bro, I wouldn't get shit done. Like,
that's a good point.
And then you looked at it as not normal. If you wouldn't have any plastic surgery.
But nowadays, it's like there's plastic surgery and now there's all these apps to alter how you look.
Yeah.
They literally have apps that you can take and like make your waistline thinner. You no longer have to get Photoshop. They have apps to do it. So I feel like we live in a society that says if you don't like the way you look, change it. And it's not work out and eat healthy. It's have surgery and...
and it's not change it because you have health issues or change it because, you know... You're just wanting to do better for your body as a whole. It's changing because the society that I live in says it's not good enough. So I have to make it so that it's good enough for them. Mm-hmm. So that I feel better about myself.
On a less serious topic, I heard Safari got a lot of money.
Yeah.
For doing a dildo deal.
Oh, no, he didn't do it. He was going to do it. I think it was like $1 million that he was going to sign for. But his friends were just like, do you really want to be known as a guy who... Who has his dildo?
Well, he's known as the guy who leaked his own dick pic.
I mean, I don't know anything about that. That's probably why they offered him the deal.
So, what's the worst thing you would do for $1 million? Let's go around the table here.
The worst thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do I have legal repercussions?
No, let's just say in a perfect world, you could do any deal you want and you can get $1 million for it.
I gotta think about that one.
Great. That's a good question. What would you do? You brought the question up. Right? You gotta know something.
All right. Content warning for all the younger children out there. Sorry.
Beep, beep. Censored.
I've already cussed like 5 times.
I will let my boobs be molded for a man's sex toy.
Okay. Wow. I wasn't expecting that. $1 million. That's a... Wow.
It's like $500,000 for each.
Wow. Okay.
Ashley Shimmy's for tits, guys.
Okay.
What about you, Tom? What would you do for a mil?
I don't know. Right. I really don't have a scale on that note. Like, it's different for guys. Like,
okay, so how is it different? What would you do though?
I don't know. Like, most guys would be like, I'd do anything for $1 million. But I know how fast $1 million would go. So it's kind of like,
good point.
You kind of got to weigh your options. And then for me, it would be like, would I do something totally crazy that can be, especially in this society, documented for the rest of my life versus not have $1 million and just live with it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it comes. This fun question. So serious. I want to take my titties back.
That's the type of person I am. I mean, like, it's so I have to weigh that option. It's. More for me when I sell my dignity to make $1 million.
So you mean to tell me you wouldn't teach a sex education course to a whole bunch of 30-year-old virgins for $1 million?
First of all, I did that in college anyway.
For the free. So, exactly.
I mean, I'd definitely do it for $1 million. That ain't hurting my integrity or my...
There you go.
Or me at all. But I mean, when it comes down to... Like doing something crazy for $1 million, I maybe jump out of a plane. You know what I mean?
You just made me look a pervert.
Yeah, you shimmied your tits. No one told you to do that.
I don't know. That's a lot of different things I probably would do.
I don't know. What would you do?
Wow. $4 million.
Like, we need options.
Right? Like, would you do this or that? I don't know. I wouldn't sell myself. Like,
we're not talking about
that's the first thing I think of. Like, am I worth $1 million?
No.
What would I give?
Bye. Okay. Let's see. Would you Would you do the Jerry Springer bead challenge for $1 million? Or would you go on a date with each member of the Love & Hip Hop's Creep Squad for $1 million?
I guess I'm going on a date with Peter Guns. What's up, Rich Dollars? Let's go to the bar. Nope. A date could last 30 minutes.
Wait. How come she got a whole option? She asked for options. And I didn't get no option.
You didn't ask for no option?
Give me an option here.
Alright, would you teach a sex education course to a whole bunch of 30-year-old virgins, or would you go on a date with all the golden girls?
Oh,
old women love me. Let's go on a date with the golden girls.
You only got one left.
I'm sorry. Well, I can go to the old folks home. And...
Okay, not the golden girls. You have to go on a date with all the basketball wives.
Oh,
All right, I just want to make a disclaimer. I know none of the basketball wives. I don't know who any of them are. So for them to make this dang statement means that I will have to look this up. So let me go fact check some of this real fast. And now y'all come back to me.
You know who the basketball wives are. We watched the show. Well, I watched the show. You said
Malaysia,
there.
Shawnee.
You're going to say names, and that doesn't mean anything. Yeah,
they're going to pop up on your
go
search.
Over to Monroe. What would you do for $1 million? So you need a...
Yeah, I can't get an option.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sleep with the Joker. In acid.
Which one?
Okay, sleep with Suicide Squad's Joker in acid, which means that your skin is going to be permanently be fucked. Or
okay,
I get superpowers after.
Right.
No, you get no superpowers.
Fuck.
Wait. What superpowers did Harley Quinn have?
She has the ability, like, she is actually really strong. She is impervious to all types of poisons because in one of the arcs, Poison Ivy is the one that took her out of the vat of acid and healed her.
Yeah.
All right, I just wanted to make sure you knew what it was because most people say that and then they have no idea what her powers are.
So, you have to sleep with the Joker from Suicide Squad now that you've proven yourself worthy.
Apparently.
Or you have to go skinny dipping with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ooh. Y'all might see the chopper.
I mean, you know, acid...
Water.
I think I'm gonna go with skinny dipping. I might drown because I can't swim.
Yo, stop with all the stereotypes, man. Alright guys, so let's get back on the topic of music. Are there any local artists that are gonna be performing at any of our shows that you got your eyes on? I mean, besides me.
Obviously.
No, just kidding.
You said that one girl who could bellow.
Tiffany.
Yeah. Yes. I was thinking about her. Like, wow, let's see what she can bring to the table.
I'm excited for that. Yeah.
I'm really excited for her. I watched her her audition reel, and I was blown away. I was like, wow, are you even trying? Because she didn't even look like she was trying. She has this eloquence that's just really nice. I have to say, we have a comedian who's going to be maybe taking... on the stage named Rico. He does some real life comedy, like things that I can relate to. I was like, yeah, I get you, man. I didn't like that Game of Thrones episode either. Like, what's going on?
I didn't even watch that. I'm probably canceled for everyone right now.
Wow. Thronies, I want you to know that was Anna, so please okay. At her.
She's gonna throw me out there.
Sansa for the Thrones, I'm just gonna say, you know.
Who do you have your eye on?
I would love to see the two sisters.
Oh, you're talking about Michaela.
Yes, I would love to see them live. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a different vibe.
So local artists that we have our eyes on. Anna said Tiffany. I said Rico, the comedian who will be coming on. She said Michaela. And Tony, you were talking about... Janet, the painter that you were kind of interested in.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see how that was going to play out. My dad's an artist, so is my uncle. And then they're both, they draw really well. So I have a kind of weak spot for a good stroke of a pen, you know what I mean? So I'm looking to see how that's going to play out.
Awesome. Yeah, she's going to be joining our team, too. We're accepting all artists. And we have a couple of different showcases coming up. Our open mic, June 8th. You guys excited for that?
Yes.
We have almost all of our slots booked. I think we have, like, 2 slots left.
Right? So if you know somebody who knows somebody who's an artist, you might want to get that slot filled.
Or if you're somebody who's an artist, you want to fill that spot. We got some fresh talent. I'm actually really excited about one of our recurring artists, Lawrence. What is his name again?
Versatile,
yeah. We've actually featured him on our podcast with some of his music. He is really dope. Please check him out. And who else do we have featured? We have Tony featured. She's one of our singers. She's going to be blowing us away with her vocals. And Ma, do you want to talk about some of the events we got coming up?
Yes, ma'am. Let me pull up the list. As you know,
fulfilling stereotypes, you know, working on CP time. Can we just give Mariella a hand clap, like Monroe a hand clap, please? Everybody give her a clap. She finally replaced her phone.
Oh, wow. The shade. It just got so dark in here, guys.
Look.
And she upgraded. Like, what is that? Tell the people what you got, boo.
I got the XS Max, y'all.
And she over here dabbing on them hoes.
Did you say dabbing?
She did.
We ain't gonna speed past that like you ain't just say it.
You had a problem with my lingo?
Yes, I do.
So, besides our open mic on the 8th of June... In July, we have Fireworks on the Mic coming up.
Pew, 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 pew. I don't know why I felt that was acceptable. Okay, go ahead.
What fireworks you Right, okay.
Anyways, after that, we have our Adoration Gala in August, which I'm excited for.
I'm really excited for that.
Y'all just
want to
dress up.
Yes! That's part of it.
First of all, I'm excited because my set is on fire.
This is always on fire.
I'll see. Look at that. Inner love and support.
Thank you. You want to talk a little bit about our sets that we have coming up at Adoration Gala? Like, tell me about your set.
Oh, God. So, for that one, I'm just really, really, really gonna let people know that I am not white.
She's gonna walk up and the Mexican flag is gonna fly out.
Like, it's just gonna be the whole backdrop, guys. No, I really want to, and it does touch a little bit about what we were discussing tonight, the whole stigma of what being a person of color is, you know, especially like a Latina, the whole stigma of what you should look like, what you should act like, talk. I don't know, it's baffling, and especially, like, the whole gender role issues that are still very prevalent in the machismo. I'm not here for it. I don't want to hear, you know, that if I come home at, like, midnight, you know, oh, those aren't ladylike hours, and it's not appropriate if you do it because you're a girl.
It's like, I've had some fun. Thanks.
Can we just stop, and we're not going to speed past the fact that you're making your own sound effects now. So
it be like that sometimes, you know?
That's what's up. I dig that, and I cannot wait to see your set. I think that's going to be fire.
I'm
going to
come out on a whole sombrero. All
right, let me talk about my set, right? I got a set coming up.
Okay. What's the set? Behind the DJ booth?
Oh, man, I got the whole setup. My whole setup is right there behind the motherfucking cashier. Because I'm the one collecting the money. So I will be the one that you see as soon as you walk through the door. Please have cash. I'm just joking.
So my set, I'm actually going to be doing an intro to our conference in November for the culture. And I'll be presenting a nice mix of neo soul and poetry, so we could find where music meets poetry. So I'll be getting in my singing bag and in my lyrical bag, and I am so ready for this. I am so ready for this because I'm gonna have to whip Manny ass into shape. So we're gonna have hopefully another anchor here named Emmanuel Melly Mel P. That's not gonna be his name. Unfortunately, he's not here today, but he will also be featured on my set. And I know Carmen is going to do her tribute to the 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that. She got a really good lineup with some singers that she'll probably talk about tomorrow during our pod for tomorrow. Tony is going to give a tribute to Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Which is going to make me cry. Just going to let you know right now.
You cry? That's the thing.
She has to do the eyeliner. She has to.
Yeah, she has to do the eyeliner. Dramatic. Get the eyeliner from Sephora, Tony. I don't know if you're listening, but Sephora got that lit eyeliner. Not the Sephora brand. Go to the Sephora store. Go to the Fenty table and get that eyeliner. Man, all right, guys. So,
shaded Sephora.
Sorry. We have one more really big showcase. I kind of mentioned it already, but you want to talk about the For the Culture Conference?
For the Culture Conference. I just sounded like very announcery.
I was like, you getting in that announcer bag? Get your shit off. It's okay.
That just threw me off. So that is going to be our biggest event of the year. It will be a yearly thing. We plan on having vendors there, catering a fashion show that we're trying to organize.
Ooh. Yeah. I gotta put my foot in that one.
Yeah.
Girl, you better walk down that aisle, girl. Don't fall.
Poor Kevin Hart.
Right? I just saw his legs again. Right. I saw those legs all over again.
But yeah, it's going to be super, super, super awesome. Ashley's going to kill it, as always. Because
Monroe's going to kill it, always. But also, stage name is MJ. So.
Y'all keep plugging, huh?
Right, you got to just come see it.
I know the rest of our artists. Carmen's going to kill it. Tony's going to kill it. And we're going to be introducing the new artists to this conference. So this is going to be fucking dope. Just think ASIN, think C2E2, but for music and local artists. It's gonna be fucking amazing. So I hope to see you guys there. Make sure that you check out our website at www.lyricistloftproductions.com. I'll drop it down in the description. It's been great talking to you, but we're gonna kind of slide out on this one, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.
Hasta luego.
We live.
That was pretty fun.
Hey y'all, this is Ana Latiosa. You're listening to Couch Time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.